We understand that Dr. Garland Hendricks is at home after many weeks in the hospitals, and we shall continue to pray for his recovery. For many years, Dr. George Mackey was the physician of Wake Forest University on this campus, and also for many years, a physician for the seminary. Word has come that Mrs. George Mackey's mother died in Philadelphia yesterday morning, and we shall pray for that family today. Let us unite in prayer. We thank thee, O God, for the invitation to draw near unto thee, and for the assurance that thou wilt draw near unto us. In thy presence we remember those who have special need of thy love, which comes down into every joy and sorrow, into every task and trial of human life. Let thy blessing come, we pray, upon those who study and teach upon this campus. We rejoice that we have been set free to serve thee, to take thy word to the whole world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I should like to read two verses out of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was attested to have pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who search for him. I think there is a message for theological education in this sixth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I hope that some person who is competent to do so will set it forth one day. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who search for him. There is an interrelation of communion with God and search for God. And I want to speak this morning briefly about the gifts of God to those who seek him. It is not my intention to present an analysis of the ontological implications of faith, although these are very important, or to examine the role of reward and punishment in biblical ethics, although this subject is worthy of consideration. The message set forth in Hebrews 11:6 is not primarily philosophical or ethical, but religious. It is related to worship, to the yearning for fellowship with God, to the invitation to draw near to God, to seek him, to find access to the divine presence. What are God's gifts to those who search for him, who draw near to him? I mention four of these gifts. The first is insight to guide the mind in moments of decision. Insight into oneself, insight into the thoughts and behavior of others, insight into the mind of Christ. If we should have testimonies here today, I think all of us could recall moments in which we were searching for God, we were yearning for communion with God, we were examining some issue in the perspective of what we knew about God, and fresh insight came to illuminate the mind. I was working very diligently one day upon the relation of Christian faith to culture. And there came to me, without apparent effort on my part, three injunctions which were later tested both by Scripture and by behavioral science, insofar as they were susceptible of testing by behavioral science. The injunctions were, live in the world. Don't withdraw from it. Don't run away from it. Don't be afraid of it. This is the area of your investigation and mission. Love not the world. It is very easy to fall in love with the world and the things of the world. Transform the world. Do not accept culture as it is, with the thought that no change can be made in it. Live in the world, love not the world, transform the world. Such insights are gifts of God as we draw near to Him, as we commune with Him, as we try to see ourselves and the society to which we belong in the perspective of the mind of Christ. An editor of one of the most widely circulated magazines in this nation told me that it is his custom once a month to take the editorial for that month in his pocket and in his mind, into a Presbyterian church in New York City, and to think about the message of the editorial in the presence of God, surrounded by people engaged in the adoration and praise of Almighty God. He added that he often changed the editorial in the light of new insight he received. Moreover, those who search for God and draw near to God receive inward strength to carry heavy responsibility. This may be called the power of truth. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This may be a daily renewal of energy. It explains, I think, what St. John of the Cross identified as tranquility, gentleness, and strength. It is an undergirding of the mind by what some thinkers have designated an attitude of nonchalance. You and I know that this definition of nonchalance does not indicate a cold indifference to persons. It certainly is not a reckless irresponsibility, although I have not seen it defined this way in any dictionary. I think it is an intellectual imperturbability derived from a profound faith in the living God. And only people who have some degree of intellectual imperturbability derived from a profound faith in God are prepared to make the decisions to carry the responsibility to interpret life in the culture of our day. Many years ago, I read what Charles Darwin had to say about a marine plant which floats on the breakers of the Western Ocean. He was intrigued by the marine plant. His question was, how does this apparently fragile plant survive the impact of the waters? Upon investigation, he learned that it reaches down more than 150 feet and attaches itself firmly to the bottom of the ocean. And the turmoil of the waters, which would break almost any rock, does not break a marine plant, which has both flexibility and an anchor. The man of God who searches for God, who is interested in God, who is concerned about the distresses of the people of God, who draws near to God, who searches for a deeper understanding of the mind of Christ, may have an intellectual imperturbability that the dynamic currents of culture cannot destroy. This is a gift. A fourth gift is an awareness of fellowship with kindred minds. Professor Dinsmore, in a small book entitled Religious Certitude in an Age of Science, has indicated that we carry on the search for God in nature and her processes, in man and his experiences, and in the disclosure of God's grace and truth in Jesus Christ. And as we participate in this very difficult search for God, we are rewarded by an awareness that we are surrounded by friends who are interested in God and who are concerned about the distresses of the people of God. A night before last, I spoke at a banquet in Kansas City where more than 600 people were assembled to pay tribute in one way or another to Dr. Millard Berquist, who will retire at the end of this fiscal year as the first president of the Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. The most eloquent tribute to Dr. Berquist, I think, was not discoverable in what was said about him. It was discoverable in the present of more than 600 people from various parts of this nation, but especially from the state of Missouri. At one point in the program, the members of the First Baptist Church, of which he was a member, stood, including the first Sunday school teacher he had. Then his classmates at William Jewell College stood. Then his classmates in seminary stood. there were people from the First Baptist Church of Tampa, Florida, where he carried on a ministry at a high level of competence and kindness for more than 10 years were there. A faculty who have given direction and substance of thought and life to a new seminary stood. There was a sense of fellowship of people whose minds are being used in the search for God. People who know what it is to have access to the mind of God. A fourth gift we receive as we draw near to God is a sense of the presence of God Himself. He is with us on every difficult assignment. His truth guides us. His power sustains us. His love both restrains and constrains us. And it is His presence that enables us to know something of the challenge and the joy of the Christian ministry. I was delighted to read this morning a letter from a man who has recently interviewed ministers and theological students across the nation. He is a very thoughtful man, a very devout man. So far as color is concerned, he is a black man. He has a penetrating mind, a critical mind, a warm heart. I have known him for more than 20 years. I have never known him to write anything like this letter before. This is what he wrote. We have been greatly heartened this year by the new sense of joy and challenge in the work of the ministry. The corner has been turned away from the feeling of frustration and futility among the ministers of this nation. I hope that his observation, based upon empirical evidence, is sound, and I earnestly hope that it will become known to a larger group of our people. God rewards those who search for Him. I have not been as diligent in this search as I should have been, but the rewards, the gifts I have received have been very great. And I believe that everybody here could say the same thing at this moment. Let us pray. Our Father, we have thought about Thee and we have spoken about Thee. We are grateful for an opportunity to speak to Thee. Forgive our sins. Enable us to use the intelligence and the energy we have received from Thee in the task to which Thou hast called us, and give us joy in the work, for Jesus' sake. Thank you.